Shadow Main, Shadow 1-7. I'm closing in on the source of the signal. Over.
Shadow 1-7, Shadow Main acknowledge.
What the fuck?
Shadow 1-7, what do you see?
It's just,
What do you see?
It's just two skeletons and a ham radio. Over.
Say again.
I say again, two skeletons and a ham radio.
You're listening to Mad Tower Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Mad Tower Radio. It's a little different today. We're kind of taking a side path as I play host while Dan's out doing the Lord's work, working hard. And you might be asking, well, is it just going to be Christian talking alone, sadly, in his closet about the ghouls and goblins that haunt him every night? And while I think that'd be a pretty good episode, I'm actually joined by our newly minted host, a friend to you and me, Ryan Negron. Hello.
Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen, hold your applause. Yes, it is an honor to be called back to not only take part in this podcast again, Christian, but to be on the show as a host
yes,
now for good.
Sir.
Warms my heart, because like I said before, and every time I was on here, everything spooky, I eat it up, not just in the month of Halloween. I love being scared at any point in the day,
absolutely.
At any point of the year.
And if this is your first time on here at the Mad Tower Radio, it's a weekly-ish show where we come together and we report on some spooky, horrifying, or generally just unnerving thing that we discovered. And we're trying to get to the bottom of these. And you were giving me a little taste for some of the things that you had brought for us today, Ryan. Australia,
yes.
Really is the hell on earth, isn't it?
Yeah, did you know that the Realm of Oblivion from Elder Scrolls is based off of Australia?
It's actually based off of Perth, if you were wondering. I heard that.
Okay, and Maroon's Dagon, he's just based off the freaking Australian Prime Minister, bro.
Yeah.
He's the ruler of hell. but, I mean, like, aside from their natural non-cryptid wildlife, which also is there out to kill you, and it's not just the spiders, man. I've heard stories of like kangaroos and like wallabies like killing dogs and killing people and dingoes eating babies and spiders picking kids up and running off with them.
They
you
don't
know,
eat
aside,
babies over. That's not true. You made that up.
Nah, man. That whole dingo and my baby thing, apparently, I watched a video on this. I did some of my own research, air quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, like, that was, like, a tall tale, but it actually stemmed from something. Like, I think during, like, when, you know, the British were doing what the British do and colonizing Australia, someone's child was eaten by a wild dog. And, you know, if it was a British person, rightfully so. No, I'm just kidding. But that's where it kind of came from. And like, you transcended all the way down to now. It was like, it's like a song, a dingo ate my baby.
Is
that a song?
To Australian music. I don't know.
You know, it's Australia. You don't just break out the didgeridoo sometimes and just like throat sing.
No, can't say that's me.
I do that sometimes. Just sit on my back porch and just break out the didgeridoo and throat sing. Wake my neighbors up at 6 because they got work, but I'm unemployed. So I just go right back to bed. So I'm like the local rooster. That's my self-appointed job in the neighborhood.
That's how I serve the commune.
And because of that, they sold my car's catalytic converter. So I'm the rooster no more.
So what are these? What are some of these creatures you brought for us today? I'm pretty excited.
Right. So I brought two, actually. The first one is called the Bunyip. And so essentially the Bunyip is like this aboriginal kind of, I don't know if it's a spirit so much as a creature. It's kind of like, it lives like in the swamps and the Billabong creeks, riverbeds. So it kind of like, kind of the same era that like a Japanese kappa would kind of occupy.
Okay.
And essentially what it does is it gets the children when they come down to the river to get water. So you can tell this is more aboriginal because, you know, like these more metropolitan areas, you're not going down to the creek to get, you know,
to get a glass of water,
yeah, to fill up your water to make ramen, you know, like This is more for people who are constantly by, you know, these streams and these bodies of water. So they said that it kind of has the characteristics of like a bird and an alligator. And I think something that was funny is that they said that it sounds like an emu. So, you know, emus are pretty aggressive, which is kind of funny. Australia did, in fact, go to war with emus. I don't know if you knew that.
I heard that they battled to a loss with these birds.
Yes. Yeah, the military battled to a loss with the emus. So, of course, the way this cryptid sounds is like the most terrifying thing there, an emu when it screams. But it says that it has like the body of like an alligator and kind of has these like these really strong back legs, and it can stand. And like when people would go down to the water, in some stories, it's able to like it almost has like a siren song.
Oh.
And like it would like lure these people to the water, and in some cases it would drown them, or in some cases it would just like, you know, just like maul them like a bear, you know. Like they're trying to figure out like the best way to like talk about it. It kind of started out like in the 1830s. They found like these bones, like, oh, what is this from? Yeah, it was in like in the Wellington Caves, and they were like, this is they didn't know what it was. So of course they're gonna go back to like maybe dinosaur, this then that, but like. The natives of the area, the aboriginals, were like, oh, no, that's like the bones of a bunyip. That's, you know, like these creatures that would populate the area. And, you know, suffice it to say that these sightings of these creatures are rather rare when you're in a group. It's kind of like Phasma. Some ghosts don't appear if you're in a group.
They don't really like it when you're in a party. Okay.
Exactly. Because, you know, it's like, you know, maybe it could take a kid by itself. But when you have like a whole group of people there, someone's going to jump in and start fighting it.
No, this bunyip sounds like a coward.
I know, you know, we're picking on kids when they're trying to get water. But that kind of goes back to, you know, well, just to wrap it up. So it has that ability and it's said to stand at like 13 feet tall. It's like this huge kind of creature. Yeah.
I didn't know they were so big.
They are. But, you know, like how big can you be really if you're picking on kids?
Exactly.
But that kind of actually like takes me, it kind of reminds me, like there's similarities to when, like, a culture tells a story to keep kids away from doing a certain thing, you know? Oh,
absolutely. A tale as old as time. Like, don't let the goblin get you out in the woods. Yeah, or,
you know, like, don't smoke dad's cigarettes. El Cucuy will tear your head off. You know, stuff like that. Like,
classic.
You know, a childhood tale that I wish Disney would pick up. Really, come on, Disney. Get the Cucuy.
Come on.
El Cantanto looks great, but I want to see a Cucuy movie. But so, like, I feel like this kind of started out a long time ago for these Aboriginal tribes to, like, tell their kids stay away from the water. Because they grow up around, you know, like, if you're in the area, you're unfazed by the wildlife that's there. So for us, you know, like, in the States, we hear about these spiders and these alligators and these, like, these predators that live out there. And we're like, that's terrifying. But to them, that's their everyday life. And especially if you're living in, like, out in the bush, like especially these, like, natives – they are fully in that world. So their kids may not be as scared of, let's say, an alligator as I would be of an alligator, because I'm just scared of water in general, you know? Like, so they may have had to come up with kind of this cryptid or this creature to keep their kids away from the water. Because aside from being swept off and drowning, you know, there's hippos there, there's alligators, there are these, like, these, you know, fish that could eat you. There's a myriad of things that could kill you in the water, especially in the waters of Australia. And these kids, being, you know, from Australia and Aboriginal, they're built different. They're stronger than us. Their wills are stronger. So they're not going to be as scared of, like, oh, that's just an alligator or whatever. Or, like,
that.
A crocodile or whatever. It's like, you know, like, that's just, like, we see that every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't make it any less dangerous, but... you know, they're not as scared of it. And, you know, there's been legends of sightings and stuff like that. You know, like, explorers, like, back in the 1800s of, like, you know, when they were first kind of going out into that area and they had the ability to, they're like, oh, we saw this creature that looked kind of like a hippo and like a freaking manatee, and it stood up and looked at us and it growled and it sounded like a bird and it went under the water. And, like, you know, we set up camp and it was coming up out of the water close to our camp and going back in. We didn't know what it was. And then there's ones that date even farther back. And those are more Aboriginal folk tales of, like, you know, like, you know, like a wise man of the tribe using a totem to drive it off. So it that lends credence to their evil spirit as opposed to a cryptid. it's just something that's really cool. And I had a good time doing research on it because, again, I like seeing these different cryptids from around the world. Like, we have our own here. We have a ton here, and you guys have covered quite a few of them. But seeing some of these, like, what the human mind creates or doesn't create, what do they actually see in these different parts of the world? I know that there is, I think it's in Europe somewhere. They have, like, something similar to a bunyip. And it's like they have an animatronic bunyip in like a dungeon area, but you can't really tell that it's there because it's underwater. What? So when kids walk by the bars, like they're like, oh my gosh, look. And then like the bunyip lunges out of the water at them, you know, for kids.
The perfect meeting of a lot of things that we like to discuss is like the cultural aspect of how these stories sort of morph and grow into what was originally, like you said, like a cautionary tale or like a piece of their livelihoods just sort of gets twisted here and a little story there grows into this monster that we recognize today. I love that shit so much.
Yeah. Well, like, some people think that it could be a surviving species of like prehistoric animal. It's called the Diprotodon, kind of like a bear, but they're like not amphibious, but like they, you know, hang out by water and bears can walk through water. So people are like, oh, you know, it might be kind of like with Loch Ness, how they're like, oh, it could be a plesiosaur that's been living in like, you know, the loch for, you know, hundreds of thousands of years somehow. People think like, oh, since Australia is so unexplored in some areas, there's like, oh, there's maybe a chance that like they live in a cave system somewhere and they come out and they do these things. You know, like there's ways to explain stuff away, but I always like to acknowledge the reality of some stories and stuff like that. But I think my inner child likes to hold on to like maybe it is some cryptid, some undiscovered thing. Because, you know, there's credence for both. There's, you know, evidence for both sides of the argument.
I think we as, like, a people need to just sort of dispel all that all-knowing cloud that we think that we have. Like, there's so much of this, like, earth, of, like, the ocean's floor, for example, that we have no goddamn clue what's going on.
I'm terrified of the ocean floor. Like, I'm terrified of the ocean. Open water? I don't mess with that stuff. Who knows what's down there? Like
nothing.
I had a panic attack watching Finding Nemo because like when they did like
don't mean to laugh at your trauma. How did Nemo hurt you?
Dude, man, the freaking anglerfish, bro.
Oh yeah.
Man, I saw that and I knew when I saw that little light and I like stood up in my chair and I started breathing heavy. My family's like, Ryan, what's wrong? I was like, and then like right when it showed up, I was like, hey, popcorn everywhere, blood. It was crazy, dude.
And like all it takes is one misunderstood, you know, sighting, you know, an anglerfish comes up to sea one day after it dies and it can turn into its crazy sea monster that we know and love. Or like, The power of suggestion and the power of fear that can make people see things. Absolutely, I'd buy the bunyip.
Totally. No, yeah, exactly. And it's like, especially in an area that people don't really like, that, you know, like that a native people have lived on for so long. Clearly, they're seeing something. You know, what is it? We're not out there enough. And that's kind of like, you know, there's not enough explorers anymore. You know, I can't be an explorer like the guy from Destination Truth on Discovery TV. Yeah,
that don't pay the bills anymore. Sorry.
Yeah, right. He was already famous walking into that. He was like a famous like line of explorers. They had he had the family bank to do that. Mm-hmm. We just go ghost hunting in the deep parts of the state where we're going to go in December. But
oh, yeah, we got to talk about that, actually.
I know, right? I'm excited. Gotta get the time off of work. It's like, Ryan, why can't you work on this day? It's going ghost hunting.
Going ghost hunting. Sorry. Look forward to that, fellas. Listen.
I bring my UV laser light after our experience yesterday.
So, but you said the one thing that sticks out to me is the height. You said 13 feet? That really, stuck me up.
That's why, like, people think that it's... It could be like a prehistoric kind of animal because back then they grew to match the size of their predator so they could live. There's nothing – and that's also kind of why it's hard to explain because there's nothing that big out there. Unless you're like me and believe in the hollow earth theory. No, but unless there is some other type of natural predator that they haven't discovered yet. But yeah, they're saying it's like 13 feet tall, this like giant monster of a creature.
The idea, I mean, it's not like a groundbreaking thought to like be amazed at how slow evolution is, but like our society has jumped up so quickly, and we still have brains from 10,000 years ago. We still have like caveman monkey minds. And I just think like that can make so much happen out in the wild.
Oh yeah, like that primal fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a reason why campfire stories are so popular, because being around that fire and you're out there in the wilderness, that genetic, that DNA, that fear that's ingrained into your DNA comes out. So you're just like, you know, at one point you're sitting there like, oh yes, I know how to tie this rope knot and build a boat. And then you get around the campfire like, unga bunga, something's in the dark, you know, like you're a freaking warrior player from Final Fantasy 14.
Shit.
One button, baby.
So, you told me that this was a combo meal. So, is there something even more frightening out there than the bunyip?
Okay, yeah. This one actually, like, messed me up. And it's called the Namarodo Spirit. And essentially, so I discovered this one. There's a game out there called Straya. It's a Unity game. And essentially, in this Unity game, you play as an Australian cryptid bounty hunter. And I was watching this guy play it, and I was like, this is bizarre. And it's funny, the bunyip, he did fight and kill a bunyip in it, but then also, at one point, he's like, oh, yeah. And the guy who's playing it's he's a freaking Australian. So he's sitting there, and he's playing, and he's like, oh, yeah, you know, they got the Namorodos out there. Oh, these freaking bastards. So I'm like... Like he starts explaining kind of like the history and kind of the story behind these things. Cool. And they're terrifying. He's like, they're these long, tall, lanky creatures that fly and they shriek like a banshee. But a big defining feature of them is that they have this extremely long hair. And something about that just does not sit, like, longer than their body hair.
Oh yeah. Like I'm picturing something like flowing through the breeze.
But it's like it's not like patchy, but it's spaced out. So like it's like this like really long stringy hair, and they fly and they just shriek, you know. And you know, it's they strike at night, kind of like the bunyip would do. But like people would say, like when there's like a high wind, or like it's really windy, and you hear whistling. That's what they are. That's them. Bro. And so they would like, oh, dude, they're so creepy. It's just like, you know, like they're like undead, like nightmare vampire flying. I don't even know really what to call them. Like banshees. Like it says like their skin is held together by like thin strips of muscle. So they're like floating and they're like rotting around before.
Ugh.
But so like they associate them mainly like to like make it have it make sense to people who are not from that area. You know, it says that they A, attack at night, and B, they suck out their victims' life juices. And, you know, life juices, blood. But the way that they sick their juices out of you is like they don't use their teeth. They stick their claws into you and they suck it out through their fingers.
Ooh, that's nice.
But kind of like with the vampire, if you get killed like that, you become one.
But you said like their flesh isn't all like together and like
it's like a flying cadaver that's just like rotting, and like it's over there just like, you know, fucking picking people up. And again there, this comes from an aboriginal, you know, sightings, air quotes, and tales. And people think that it's mainly that they would say, hey, don't go outside when it's at nighttime, which is great. But also don't go out when it's too windy, because Australia has like dust storms and things like that.
Oh yeah, okay.
And so they say, oh, you hear that? That wind whipping? That's the Namorodo. It's coming for us, you know. And they would tell them these terrifying tales of it attacking children. Like it was almost exclusively all these creatures attacked women and children. So it's like a good way of like not a good way, but it's an effective way of keeping people from that select party of people from leaving, you know, during the night.
Yeah, some form of like societal control. Yeah
like, oh man. And like in some like and some people are saying stories of like how like they can kind of change themselves to get close, so they look a little closer to a human, but then they're, you know, by the time you're close enough to see what it is, it's not. Oh, I get like Skinwalker vibes, bro. I don't like Skinwalkers, bro.
Are you seeing like what appears to be like an upswing in weird Skinwalker, Wendigo, like memes and cultural presence online lately?
Yes. I was actually going to bring that up to you.
I feel like the Skinwalker's hot right now, and I don't know what's going on.
I think it's, at least for me, like, they're terrifying, you know? Like, that paired with good storytelling.
Oh, yeah.
Those can be really, like, terrifying. But I don't know, man. It's these YouTubers, I'd say. There's, like, this guy, like, Darkness Prevails and Swamp Dweller and, like, these guys who read, like, scary stories on their YouTube channels. And their most popular ones are Skinwalkers, bro. Just something about, like, them saying, oh, there's, like, a dog with human eyes.
Yeah, it's so, like, quick.
Like, emaciated. Yeah. And it's just, like, again, like you were saying, there's, like, a primal fear that comes with that. Like, something just being off or wrong, especially for people here in the States, where it's like you were saying, we think we have everything explained. You know, we have technology and all this stuff. We're like, there's no way there's something like that doesn't exist. Well, the Navajo saw something.
I don't understand, yeah.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, and they discredit these stories because, like, oh, well, that's just like, you know, old Native Americans talking. So, are you like saying that they didn't see something? Were you there? No, well, their ancestors were.
Did you?
Your ancestors were in Europe. Like,
building castles and shooting rocks at each other, dumbass.
Yeah, like, they're out there. Tenochtitlan had a full irrigation system.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, that's like, you know, we don't know everything. Again, like, you know, like, we just don't know. And I think it's cool to accept. And it kind of makes life a little more interesting when you accept that there are things out there that we don't know. There's a little bit of, like, adventure and mystery kind of left, you know?
I mean, I'm in that. Like, in my heart, I really enjoy that sort of adventure. But sometimes it gets a little too close to me.
Well, you lived some of this stuff. There's a reason why you don't like certain cryptids.
I don't want to be that douchebag, but did you listen to our personal hauntings episode?
I didn't. I have that queued up right now, though. Well, I literally have it queued up for when I go for my walk.
I save one in my pocket. I've got a pretty scary personal experience with a Skinwalker scare.
Oh, is it on that episode?
No, I kept it. I'm saving it.
Yeah, well, do you feel like partaking in telling that now, or do you want to say that for another?
It right now, I was thinking. I'm ready. It. You got me in the mood. So like, hearing all of your descriptions of the Namoroto and the sort of like elementalness to it, like, it's not that this one doesn't seem like a monster. It doesn't seem like an unidentified animal. It seems like an entity, like something we cannot understand.
Yeah.
And a lot of that seems to mesh with the Cherokee myth that I had the pleasure of being sort of ingrained in for a couple summers. Ooh. And there was this night. I lived on a mountain in the Great Smokies, and you'd have to walk down this winding path at night to get down to where you work.
Yeah.
And walk back up to, like, get to your home, because it's a one-way road that goes up, so you can't drive. You gotta walk through the woods.
Oh, no.
And there was this night where I'd stayed home. You know, I was chilling, doing my own thing. And I wake up the next morning, and all these people come and talk to me. And they're like, oh, didn't you have so much fun last night when you were, like, down the mountain with us, hanging out?
No!
Freaky! What do you mean, bro? Like, I wasn't down the mountain with y'all. And they were like, yeah. No, you were there with us all day, and you said you had to go up and go find something. You kept trying to, like, go to bed, and we're like, no, stay out a little longer. Like, you don't gotta go to bed too early, but you kept, like, dipping. And I'm like, that didn't happen, bro.
I was sleeping.
I was playing Final Fantasy VI emulated on my laptop, bro. that could not be me.
That's horrifying, dude.
And that particular area has had a couple of interactions like that. And the one thing about some of the Cherokee cryptids is like the personalness of it. Like they are choosing one person, or they are targeting a person.
Yeah.
It targeted you. Scares me a little bit. That's what I'm saying. Like, what did I do to get chosen? It's got my soch. It's got my voice. Oh,
freaky dude. Like doppelganger.
Exactly.
Because what was it? Because like skinwalkers can't pull off a perfect human. That's a doppelganger, right? Doppelgangers are the ones that are so good at doing it that they could be you and nobody would know.
The there's a number of sort of form-changing creatures in Cherokee myth. One of them is an imperfect imitator. It's the spear finger, who can pretty much perfectly change, but one finger is super long, and that's what he uses to suck out your liver. Well, a lot like the Namorodo, actually. Yeah. And all this shit, it makes me scared, bro. I don't want to go outside.
Bro, in those ancient areas, those like old dark, like what was it? The dark corners of the earth, bro. There's stuff we don't know out there. Who knows, man? That's why stuff's scary. That's like, you know, and people see it. Like you had that, you know, that one story I told, the giant of Kandahar, a bunch of green berets saw something. There's stuff out there we don't know.
There's some pride you got to get rid of, I think. And I think a quick paranormal scare will really do a lot to get rid of that pride.
Absolutely. Oh. Because when you're faced with... That's kind of like, you know, you see it a lot in H.P. Lovecraft stories.
And yeah.
It's the protagonists or these people who encounter these things get their mind broken. And it's because their ego breaks. You know, like they... Everything that they thought was real... Or what they had assumed to be set gets turned on its head. So, like, you know, like you're saying, the pride that we are the only, like, really species capable of creation and stuff like that. And we do these great things. And then there's, like, that one thing out there that we can't capture or we can't contain. Like, yeah. I've heard of people going crazy out at sea just because of the vastness of the sea. Like, people go out there and, like, their mind just breaks because they're, like, on a boat and they look out and it's just nothing for hundreds of thousands of miles.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I had a relative who was in the Navy and they said that. They're like, we had a guy wake up and just start screaming one day because he just looked out and it was just the infinite blue. And that's what he kept calling it, the infinite
blue.
Fuck
that, bro.
You know,
no.
Like, you know, like, he had, like, a full-on Lovecraft moment. He's like, I see the infinite blue. Yeah. I can't, like, he just can't take it, you know, and... His, you know, his ego busted, you know, like this. And this is a guy who's trained in like a branch of the United States Armed Forces. And, you know, he lost his marbles.
You know, he failed a sanity check, like blood porn.
Yeah, he had too much insight, man. He saw what lurked beneath the waters. That's another creepy thing. This is totally off topic. I saw this video where this guy was, I think it was during World War II or something. This U.S. ship was in like European waters. And at one point at night, one of the bosun's mates on the deck said, like, come over here quickly. There's lights in the water. And everyone ran over to look. And I was like, oh, it's just, you know, like some type of like bioluminescent fish. And we knew about those at that point. This guy's like, no, that's not what it is. There's faces. Hmm? And like even the captain looked over and there were faces, human faces floating by in the water.
Fuck that, bro.
But they were illuminated and they just floated by. And like you would look behind the boat and there was this of these lights that were faces just kind of following the boat, and people were like, that was the ghosts of like the ships, of the sailors of the ships that, you know, this particular destroyer had sunk, following them. Or, you know, it was like, you know, mermen or merfolk, or it was like, you know, water banshees. And I was like, what with the water, man?
Like every once in a while I leave the recording and I got like a stomach ache. I'm just like uncomfortable.
Got a stomach ache from all.
Yeah, and I'm trying to go cold weather camping this year, and I'm gonna walk out and look over the tree line and see myself looking at me. Oh my
dude,
god!
So we got to get those blessed blades, bro. Like a Bowie knife that has like a Psalm 2 or something on it. I don't know any of the good psalms, but...
Psalm 2?
It's like a 10-page psalm just have it on the, written on the knife.
My grandmother got me a crucifix from the Holy Land. From, like, bro. Jerusalem, bro. I'm packing that thing on me when I go out.
Boy, has the combat cross from Castlevania.
I got, like, the +3, yeah. Oh, my God.
You just jam it into the not Christian's chest. It's like the not deer.
Oh, have you seen Over the Garden Wall?
Hell yes, I have.
That monster, I think, is such a good interpretation of that, like, that unknown thing out in the woods type story.
The Beast.
Oh my God, he gave me the Beast gave me one of the worst nightmares I've ever had in my life.
Oof, I could see that.
Like, I was working reception at this, like, some bodega or something on the street, right?
Yeah.
And it's just the Beast sitting outside across the street looking in. And, like, nobody came in. It was quiet. Ugh. It was alone. And, like, I knew that he knew that I had to leave to get out of work eventually. And it was, like, a real-time, like... 5-hour dream of him just like, you gotta come out sometime.
Bet.
Oh, Jesus, bro. I rest to, like, gain strength not to, like, have the visions. I hate this.
Dude, like, that's that stuff. And he was terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Like how he would sing.
Yeah.
And then finally when you saw how his body looked.
At the end, yeah, they finally give it up. But they take, you know, 11 episodes to really build that imagination in you and to really get your juices going.
Yeah, it wasn't anything I expected. I was like, oh, is he like a lizard or something? Mm-hmm. And it was like faces, just like screaming faces, a body made of screaming faces.
And that's what came to mind when you told me about the hell ship.
Yeah, right?
The faces in the ocean, no!
I hear these stories and it's always just like, I don't really want to go out there, do I?
I
don't really want to go camping, Ryan. No. I don't really. You say you do, Ryan, but you don't really want to go.
I do. I want to see some of that shit.
Me too. I'm going to have my freaking, like, all I need is that UV light, bro. I'll banish them back.
Oh, from Devour, yeah.
Yeah, they banish them. How good the useless ass thing against good old Molly. I hear Pat screaming in the distance.
I'm glad you sort of played both sides of the story for these cryptids. Like, one of them, you had provided, like, a pretty solid, like, cultural or maybe zoological explanation for them.
Yeah.
And the other one's just... Who the fuck knows about the human flesh chandeliers that come and scream at you?
Yeah.
But you're telling me that this, like, finger proboscis vampire has, like, hair longer than its body, and it's gonna infect you, and, like, what culture breeds that? Who made that? And... You're telling me my hair will grow back and all I have to do is get bitten by the Nanoroto?
Just show up, be like, hey, I'm out alone.
Oh, no.
Pull up back to the house wearing your same clothes, but your skin is falling off. Hey, what's up? But my hair's back.
Yeah, I got hair now. It might be worth it.
Listen, well, good thing you bring that, because today we're sponsored by Keeps. Keeps is a hair loss. I'm just kidding.
No. No one's ever going to sponsor me. It's fine. No, it's okay. I'm not mad about it.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Listen, this could be your slot right here in between the hair loss jokes and me and crying the about the nightmares I had. This could be your slot.
It'll be a nice little upkick. It'll change the tone for a bit. Then we cut back and it's just Christian crying for another 10 minutes.
I'm just kind of like not responding and like just sobbing a little bit. Thinking about it.
At one point in when we were playing yesterday, because I was, you know, those of you that are listening, we play games with our friends and I record some of it, and I was going through some of the footage, and at one point you do, man. At one point, like, you're like, she's here. And you're... I'm just like, Is somebody crying right now?
You just gotta let it out a little bit. You gotta release the tension a bit.
That game's terrifying. That game's super stressful.
I guess it's like, it's an important question. Like, what do you do under fear? How do you handle that?
I've only been in a situation where I felt like I was truly about to die once, and it didn't really concern any type of living creature. It didn't really concern any type of like cryptid or anything like that, or like anything supernatural. I was training to be a lifeguard, and we were doing like training how to like body rescues, like how like to carry someone as you were like as they were drowning.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who was carrying me was doing it wrong. So essentially he had me in a headlock and stuck my head underwater. And he was pulling me and I was trying to like, and he was a big guy. And he just was like essentially just holding my head underwater, and we were not even halfway across the pool. So to answer your question, how I go when things kind of, when shit hits the fan, I guess I just kind of go a little nuts and I get... Okay. I got angry. I just remember being really angry. And I remember like my brain was saying like, this is how you're going to die. And like, I just remember like I almost said sinking my fangs. I remember sinking my teeth into the guy's arm and then him like pulling off away from me, then like coming out of the water and like grabbing him and like pushing him back into the water. And like, what's going on?
That's exactly what I want, bro. I'm the flight. You're the fight. It's perfect. Like, you get mad, bro. I just cry.
You run away. I just charge right out.
Exactly. That's perfect.
Ryan wrestling with not Christian in the tree line.
Yeah, just go punch him. I'm just going to like cry and give him my wallet. You little weenie.
It's funny because when I went to I interned at a theater company, and I got in an altercation with a gentleman who was supposed to be fixing the floors of the intern house we were living in. So he kept leaving nails everywhere, and he blocked the door so no one could leave. And I started yelling at this guy. I said, "Hey, can you move?" He said, "Hey, man, fuck you." Blah, blah. And I said, "What did you say, mother man?" And so I started going at it. He wasn't ready for that. And eventually he just got in his van and he left. From that point on, bro, they said, "Oh, Ryan," because there were multiple Ryans that worked there. Which Ryan? I was Ryan, the aggressive one,
the berserker,
the berserker. That's Ryan, him. The berserker. I grew up my facial hair so I could like braid it like a Viking, bro. Just did a bunch of ketamine before I went into battle, just like the berserkers did.
Well, I'm glad I've got you by my side for the haunting. Let's go.
I know, right? I'll just bring my hand axe. But, you know, enough about Ryan going absolutely insane on some guy who was leaving nails in the driveway. What do you got for me?
So
I heard a little extraterrestrialness on the wind.
Yeah, I was hoping to sort of pick and claw and try to come to some understanding, because me and Dan have a well-trodden reputation with extraterrestrials and sort of like our opinion and mild skepticism has been pretty well documented, but I don't know how you feel about the lights up in the sky. What's your deal with the aliens?
So... It's hard for me to wrap my mind around, and as odd as it is, extraterrestrial, because I feel like there's so much terrestrial stuff that we don't know that you know, may explain some of the air quotes extraterrestrial things. If I did believe in any type of extraterrestrial, it would probably be of the Lovecraftian style, like of something that is not. Because like we have a habit of looking at aliens and making them humanoid.
And humanizing them, absolutely.
Yeah, like the Greys. It's like, oh, it's just a little human with a big gray head.
It's a dude, like, yeah.
You know, it's like I'm more of like, you know, I would believe it more if it was like, you know, a Lovecraft thing, which is a bunch of tentacles and eyes and has no consciousness. You know, it's just like feed. But I guess to answer your question, long story long, it's harder for me to accept an alien that, like extraterrestrial, like it's just kind of like, where would, you know, like, why haven't we seen more of them? You know, I know that there's explanations as to why we haven't, But why isn't there more of we have satellites up there. If, you know, and people are getting abducted and we're seeing these lights, how come nothing, you know, sure the government could be hiding it, but it's like, I'm sure someone, like a weather satellite picked something up. Like, that's why it's kind of hard for me to be like, you know, people are saying there's like, oh, there's full blown fucking, like, there's a spaceship flying over, you know, Manhattan. Well, and then nobody saw it.
With like 70,000 teens on TikTok recording as we speak and not one of them got it.
Exactly. And that's a perfect way to say it. Everyone's on their phone nowadays. How come we're not seeing more alien sightings?
Okay. I didn't know you were so firmly in the skeptic category. That's interesting.
I like to believe, you know, I kind of like you were saying, I like to have that part where it's like, but maybe. So I'm always open to being converted.
And that's always like the fine line we have to walk, I think, as somebody who, you know, talks about conspiracies, who talks about monsters and aliens, that I want to express some kind of interest, but not always like, oh yeah, dude, y'all just gotta wake up one day and you're gonna see like the Trisolarians coming in and then talking to me through my microwave. Like, I've gotta walk that line somehow.
Yeah.
But today, I don't know if this is getting my stamp of approval, but I just love this story so much. It's like an epic tale of this man who's accosted by aliens.
Accosted? Wait a minute.
That's the
accosted
word I'm
means multiple
use.
Times.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's best to just dive right into it. So it's a cool winter's night on December 23rd, 1978. And Pierre Zanfretta is a security guard in northern Italy. He is tasked with making rounds at a bunch of houses that are, like, abandoned or waiting to be picked up and purchased, you know? And he's doing his rounds, and he arrives at one of the houses that he knows is empty and sees that there's lights and that there's something walking inside of the house. And if I'm this guy, I'm thinking, oh, great, there's some fucking kids or someone broke in and is making a mess of this property.
Yeah.
But he pulls up to the house to begin investigating, and his car starts to die. Like the engine cuts and the electricity, it's not working. And he steps out of the car to investigate, and he sees behind him what he describes as a huge green beast with yellow triangle eyes looking at him.
What?
it maybe reaches out to touch him, and he, you know, very obviously runs away and doesn't want to fucking deal with it. And he describes this massive spaceship flying over the house and, quote, blasting him with a heat ray.
Now, sorry.
There's certain parts of these stories that me and Dan have visited that it just completely runs off the rails.
It's got to be a heat ray guy with it. Classic heat ray. Has to be.
So, the reason I find this particular moment so interesting is because he calls, you know, the cops, he calls his co-workers and tells them about what happened, and they arrive and find out it's, you know, late December, but the top of his car is really hot.
Mm.
Like, for some reason, there's heat all over his car, and 52 other people that night describe seeing strange lights in the sky, and there's this unexplainable, like, 9-foot horseshoe-like pattern behind the house in the backyard.
What?
Like, something landed there and then took off and left that imprint in the dirt.
Yeah.
So this is the first interaction that Sanfretta has with these aliens. And, you know, that's a pretty, I would say, stock standard abduction story.
Yeah.
Just some, like, the lights flash, something happens, and they're gone.
So, wait, so did they take him, though?
They don't take him. Yet.
They took his car.
They took his Subaru. He says that first off, the media and the community really attaches themselves to Zenfredo. They're very interested in the story, and it feels like the whole town buys into it because of the multiple sightings, you know, that energy, yeah, and spookiness gets out. And they take Zenfredo and they give him a public hypnosis interview.
Ah.
They,
as one does.
They're like, we're going to test you live on, like, the news channel to see if you're telling the truth. Now, I'm going to put this in the description. Ryan, you can watch this entire interview on YouTube.
Oh, please, yes.
You can see the whole thing. And I will invite anyone to go and check that out, because he describes, like, being in contact with them. He describes all of these interactions that are eventually going to happen. And it fucking rocks.
I'm going to watch that as soon as we're done recording this. I love stuff like that.
The conviction, like, we speak about it a lot on the show. Like, there's a certain energy that someone will give you, and it's hard.
Yeah.
To call them on their bullshit when they're giving you that level of commitment.
Like, it's like people who go through stuff, though, you know, mm-hmm, like, someone has a near-death experience and they talk to you about it. They're not going to be like, yeah, well, you know, almost, you know, fell out of a plane. Just like, you know, I fell out of it and, you know, I felt my life flash over my eyes. Like, but they mean it. Not like in that meme-y way. I saw my life flash from my eyes, you know?
Yeah, it's like reserved conviction.
Yeah.
And he's serving a lot of that in this interview. And yeah. 3 days after this video, he is driving through a tunnel in northern Italy. And he sees a light flashing at the end of the tunnel, like blindingly bright.
My gosh.
You know, this man is now a veteran of abductions. He calls into work and he says, hey, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Something fucking crazy is happening. I might be getting abducted again.
How many employers have had that? And it honestly happened. Just like, yeah, I'm about to be straight up abducted by aliens.
This man had the wherewithal to be like, I'm not coming into work today, bro. Something crazy's coming down this tunnel. And he describes, you know, the light overtaking him. And then they find him. Like, they go to go see what was happening, obviously, like his friends. They're like, oh, that's a dude who's, like, friends with the aliens. We got to make sure he doesn't do anything crazy. And he's found, like, on the side of the road, completely dry on a rainy day.
Mm-hmm.
And his car's hot again. The same, like, heat on the roof phenomenon's happening. And
wild.
He describes a conversation he had with them. He expresses that he was seemingly, like, interviewed by them. Like, they spoke to him through this glowing orb to, like, translate their speech. And that they were the Titonians of the Third Galaxy. And that they would be back. This was just, like, a first meeting, but there would be more of them. Like, expect visits. And
that's crazy.
This is where it starts to turn. Like, I start to think, oh, like, maybe something unfortunate's happening with this guy's mental state or something.
Yeah.
Because he was reported saying, like, they're going to come back. And this time they're going to keep me. Like, they're going
to
take me.
That's never good to say.
Mm-hmm. Like, one alien abduction, oh, haha, it's a cute story I tell at the party. The second one, you're like...
There's a more weight behind it after it happens a second time.
I need, like, a CAT scan or something. Like, I get to see if, like, my iron level's good.
Man, so, I think I'm hallucinating.
So there are three more I'm about to describe to you. He goes on to have this series of fantastical abductions. But it's 1978. Like, I've never heard this story before, but it feels like such a frequent, such a colorful story would, like, it would blow the whistle on this whole alien thing, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder, like you said, if this is such a common phenomenon, if this is such a, you know, remarkable thing, where'd aliens at?
Yeah, it's also, it's not like they're in the middle of the desert. Like, yeah. People could be like, I mean, even if, you know, even a homeless guy could just be like, oh yeah, I fucking saw something happen.
I just, there, as these stories, you know, come out, and I think, touching on what you said earlier, I believe UFO sightings have gone down in the last 20 years as cell phone cameras have become more prevalent.
Yep.
I think there's, like, hard empirical data to show, like, exactly what you're saying.
Because the quality of these cell phone cameras now is staggering, too. It's, like, not like, you know, it's Bigfoot! You got that, like, grainy, JPEGs, blurry. Yeah. It's just, like, you have, like, a fucking a nice camera. Like, if you're going to get a shot of something, it's going to look nice on that phone.
There's just no way, I think, if people think there's this worldwide cover-up, I don't think I can buy that.
It takes so much. I think so much more resources than there's available on our planet to do something that. Like that. You know, like, even, like, let's say, for example, even these extraterrestrials were part of the cover-up. Humans are nosy, and like you said, we have recording devices everywhere. So unless they exist in some different wavelength or something and that we cannot see, you know, like,
that's the one. Yeah, that's the one that might get me and be like, oh, you know, these are like helium aliens and they don't even like see light. I mean, yeah, I can, like, believe that one.
Yeah. But just like, and also with stories like this, it's always odd because, you know, and this, like, even in this, like, how you said he was accosted not once, not twice, but five times by these extraterrestrials. It's very self-centered. It's like, not like how I mean, like, in the way of like, it's all about me. Mm-hmm. It kind of is. It's like, at this time, they didn't. Why did they choose you? You know, what? What's why it wasn't anyone here? Else? Exactly. It's like, you know, was. 'Cause I've read abduction, like, stories and stuff like that. People are like, well, it's because my mind was open. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that you have some type of, you walk in believing this, so it's mm-hmm. easier to believe things are happening, you know? Because if you believe something, you're going to see it. You know, if you stare, like, for example, I'm terrified of the ocean, and I know that if I look at the ocean on a black, like, a black night, I will see something.
Exactly.
Because I'm scared.
Exactly.
And I have the power to suggest and make myself see something and experience things. It's kind of like a panic attack, you know, where nothing's really happening, but you're so scared that your body is saying, you're dying, and mm-hmm. your heart is pounding. And there are these physical reactions to things that you believe that aren't really happening. So it's like, I'd really be really interested to know what his mental state was prior to this, like in his own private time. What did he believe prior to, like, all of this happening?
I don't have any sort of background information on, like, what his life was prior, but, I mean, we've got an hour of footage, and you could see something going on with this guy.
Yeah.
And before we get back into it, it's 1978, bro. It's the Cold War. You think things are going to be flying through the sky and NATO is not going to make a big
blow out of said sky? Like,
yeah. Exactly. You think we're chilling here, like, in mutually assured destruction times, not freaking out about the flying saucers?
The good old days, yeah.
So, the third abduction is pretty unspectacular. He's going out to a property at the top of this mountain, and he gets picked up. But the notable factor in the third one is that the community takes him in, interviews him a second time, but administers to him a truth serum.
Jesus. See, I guess those are easy to come by during the Cold War. Does anybody get just have them on them?
It is.
I'm going my truth serum from my briefcase.
Quote, sodium pentothal. They're giving this man some whack substance to get him to tell the truth about the aliens. And then I looked into it. Now, today we use it as an anesthesia. It's like a barbiturate.
Okay, put the man to sleep.
They, like, doped him up and gassed him out to tell this story again. The community is not lending a helping hand to this guy. Like, they're hypnotizing him and they're drugging him up and they're gassing him out.
I would have fled the country at that point. Like, what the heck?
So, by the fourth abduction, this is a community problem. This is something that, like, people in the area know about and they're responding to. So this is 1 year later. It's December 1979. And he goes missing, and his coworkers, who are, you know, familiar with the occasion, go out to go find him in, like, the back roads. And they head to his last known location, and one of the guys reports that there is this strange glowing cloud thing over the road, and that it shoots these beams of heat at their cars, and it shuts them off. And, like, now the people are starting to see it. It's spreading. And one of the men, after the encounter, ends up taking his own life.
Oh, wow.
Like, the power of this myth is getting so strong by this point. It's been a year of these abductions that, like, it's starting to have a real tangible effect on people.
Yeah.
So... I'm glad your one beginning of the podcast was light and a little bit of fun here, but it shows that this like cultural energy that we feed these monsters can be, you know, just kind of mischievous and lighthearted, but also there can be these conspiracies that get too much energy, these aliens, these cryptids that like create bad situations in our community.
Yeah.
And the last one I'm going to leave you with, it's a pretty good, like, end cap for his abduction story. There are about 11 that he gave examples of, but I picked the five that were pretty exciting for me.
Hold up. How many did he have altogether?
11.
11?
Over the course of, like, 3-4 years.
That's wild.
Like, they keep coming to, I guess, talk to him, check up on him, see, like, what's going on.
And that's wicked.
And this fourth one I'm talking about is in the middle of all this, and it's already causing chaos in the community.
Yeah.
Like, it's... kind of bums me out almost to talk about it, but it's such a big, like, event. Usually, like you were saying, it's settled into one person.
Yeah.
It's about, like, their personal experience, or ones that we've heard in the past have been, like, one guy is convinced that he's getting picked up at night.
Yeah.
But by this last one, they're casual with it. He's going to the gas station to go fill his car up.
Oh.
And he looks over and there's a fucking alien at the pump.
Hey man, you got $20 I could use real quick?
He's like, hey, we gotta talk. Hop in the ship. Like, they're on a first name basis. And of course, Sanfredo's getting on that ship. Like,
oh hell yeah.
He didn't say fuck off. Punk. Like, I gotta get to work. He's like, oh, let's go. So he jumps on the ship, he gets picked up by this fucking vagabond alien at the gas station, and he describes it this weird, like, science wing of the spaceship, and there's little eggs with creatures he can't identify, and one that kind of looks like a man in there. And they give him an egg. They're like, you keep this one. We want you to give this to Dr. J. Allen Hynek, who is a, like, UFO expert in the United States. You gotta go get this egg to her. Like,
they're in contact with each other. They're talking to other people on the other side of the world.
They're, like, giving him a quest. And
they're giving him a quest?
Yeah, they're like, we need you to deliver this egg to this scientist.
Dude, he was talking to Heidelin, bro.
This is your level 75 main story quest.
It's happening right now. Endwalker?
He described them. This particular one was more attuned with the human form. It was like a big, bulky, bald-headed, weirdly shaped man. It was like trying to put on the form.
Yeah.
And people attribute this to one of the early examples of the Men in Black theory. Have you heard this one?
Yeah.
Yep. Like the Thin Men in XCOM, like these infiltrating aliens.
That's exactly what I was thinking about.
Yeah. So he gets visited by this alien, gives him the egg, and like, you give this to this girl, and then we'll be in talk.
You know how, the way you said that, my brain pictures that they talk like the fucking Combine soldiers from Half-Life 2. See you later. Just like walks away.
Earlier in the story, he says that they communicate through this glowing translation orb. I don't know if this dude had it in his pocket at the gas station.
My man.
Or if they just like had learned English from all the like classes they'd been taking with this dude. He didn't pick up all the time. Maybe he taught them or Italian, I guess. Shit.
But, hey, dude, they're aliens. They could have people in other parts of the world learning different languages. But, they have Duolingo.
Zad Freda, he tells everyone, bro, I didn't deliver that egg, bro. I buried it in the fucking hills in northern Italy.
As one should. What the
fuck? He ignored the quest. So somewhere, like 20 kilometers northwest of Genoa, there's an alien egg buried in the fucking hills.
I know what we have to do. We gotta go get it, dude.
You know what that means. I gotta get my passport. Hold up.
We're gonna go find this alien egg and finish what that man didn't start.
I think
what a quitter. After 11 times, did you just pass up on that? Come on.
Dr. J might be gone. I don't think the quest can be completed anymore.
Listen, they'll know that we believe. And they'll be like, it's like, hey, I heard the last guy. He didn't help you out, but we, if you let us make some money off you, we'll help you.
Hey, alien. You heard anything about Bitcoin? Because I'm willing to do this for you.
They're like, yeah, of course, we made it. Elantrius Muskrat, our leader's the one that founded that company.
he also describes the egg-bearing alien is a taller than a human, like 10 feet or so, so like a thin man, and that his skin was mottled and discolored, like it wasn't on right. It didn't look right.
Ugh.
And I just find it so fucking funny that he, dead convinced, he's meeting with these aliens, he's having all these soirees and conversations, and then he's like, I'm not doing this quest, bro. Fuck you. I'm not delivering this.
Because he probably figured that it was going to be like some like world-ending thing.
So if you are given the weird specimen creature, would you not want to get it off your continent? You buried it in the hills, bro. It's going to come back to your house at night.
Well, imagine how hard it would have been to try and do that. Like you said, this is during the Cold War. Like, what's this guy from Europe doing over here?
With his briefcase full of...
alien eggs.
Weird eggs, bro. What do you... Hmm? Like,
what unknown Italian dish is this? It's like, no, don't worry. Don't ask too many questions about it. It's good. Trust me.
So that's where our story ends. That's the Zanfretta abductions. There's a couple more if you do want to, you know, dig in a little bit more.
I think I will.
Like, there's a couple of abductions for you to go check out. I left a couple of fun ones, but also, I keep saying it, but that video is fucking nuts. I'm going to put it in the description. Check that out for just a couple minutes. He's lying back on this bed, and he has all these wires attached to him, and he's going into these intimate details about his abductions. I'm like, oh, geez, bro.
I can't, like, it's so, you know, kind of like, before you told me that that man ended up taking his own life because of that, I almost felt like, you know, people want to be famous too, you know? So it's like, we went to go get him and we got hit with the heat beam too, you know? But kind of in that same kind of vein, fear is an infection in itself, you know, like, because something you said stood out is that you said, you know, this thing is, and like these happenings are infecting this community. And that's kind of what it is, because you know, fear is infectious. These guys were, you know, he was given so much publicity and this was given so much of a stage that people believed it. Like, you don't know that man who took his life. Maybe he started, his family started believing it so much that they came up with their own beliefs of it. They're like, oh, if you get hit with the heat ray, you turn into one. So it's better to die than to turn into one.
Yeah, like what, where did that story mold and change in ways that we don't know?
Yeah. And like, because like with everything, you know, like with anything, eventually you're playing a game of phone, of telephone.
Yeah.
Because you get it from the main source and it dilutes, 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 dilutes. And someone tells someone who someone tells someone who all of a sudden, you know, you never know. And like, I'm saying this as an example, but it's like, you know, it gets down to the point where it's like, oh yeah, that's actually just the Bunyip. That's not an alien. But it's been, they got like that because it's been told through so many people. Who knows what that guy was thinking? When he, you know, when this happened to them, air quotes, happened to them.
I'm just like empathetic towards it right now.
Well, yeah, because, you know, someone died because of it. And whether this guy was telling the truth or not, you know, a life was lost. And the community itself kind of pays for that. You know, that blood's on their hands. Because who the hell... Like, clearly, you know, it's the Cold War because no one was having any fun. You couldn't go out and do anything. So, you know, like, so, like, in what, really, in what reality does the whole town come and hypnotize a dude on TV?
To find out what's going on.
Yeah, it's like, they must have been like, what's going on? Like, even that in itself is, had you told me that just separately, no aliens, anything. You'd be like, so this town hypnotizes a guy in the 1970s in front of everybody on the news to interrogate him.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have been like, what? No. Like, I don't know. It's just such an odd story with so many different weird things that happen. But I guess that kind of makes sense when you're dealing with kind of like the paranormal, supernatural kind of side of things. I just think it's crazy that, you know, like they found his car and he did have that heat on top of it. I'm sure if they had a Geiger counter, maybe, you know.
There's something crazy going on, yeah.
Yeah, but like some kind of radiation on there too. That kind of reminds me of have you looked into Skinwalker Ranch?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't even know why I asked such a stupid question. Of course you have.
Of course I have like a fucking one-on-one duel with a Skinwalker set up. I got one on the cell phone.
Bro, I've seen some really cool videos on that, but that kind of reminds me of like the stuff that they would see out there, you know, like, you know, to play the other side of the fence, like when they were out there and you had these skeptics out there and they're like, we see something standing in the woods. We see these lights in the sky. I remember like one that really freaked me out was like they would see this blue orb shoot up. And when it got close to you, you'd start freaking out like infrasound, like just panicking for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would just float past you and then disappear, you know?
The thing I didn't want to do, like, I don't particularly want to put any blame on Pierre Zanfretta. Like, he seems to be sort of a victim of the community in this. There's so many quotes and sources you can find digging into this of scientists like giving him the check, saying like, I heard his testimony, we ran these tests, he's a perfect bill of health, something strange happened to him and I cannot explain it. And like, so many different people had to like fail in order for this story to continue to grow.
Yeah. It became its own beast.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of got away with itself. It's almost like, what is it really? I'm trying to think. I just saw it, but I can't think. So I'm just going to default to Warhammer. You know, like in the Warhammer 40,000 universe, these gods that exist in this like ethereal space become real when enough people believe in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And it's kind of like what you were saying, like enough people start believing and all these things start to happen and you got yourself group psychosis or group, you know, hallucinations, and a town is seeing aliens because one guy was given a stage and science didn't really step up and kind of quelled that as it was happening. And then you have this poor town who got wrapped up in fear and a guy took his own life because of it.
And I don't really, I mean, I'm not super into like the culture of Northern Italy, but like I don't hear a lot about like, oh, that's the alien town, like you can go take your picture with the spaceship, like they haven't
they capitalized.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they're making money off of it. Like Roswell is a tourist attraction.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, maybe people don't want to talk about that. Like, that would only, like, further strengthen the story for me if people came out of it, like, not having all that much fun.
Well, yeah, it's almost like a stain, like yeah. historical stain, where it's like, no, we don't talk about that. Like, we don't want to talk about that. I don't know, man. It's cool stuff to think about.
Oh, yeah.
Sad, for sure, but definitely also cool. Like I will not shy away from saying that's I love stories like that.
It's such an in-depth one. It's such like a multi-layered alien story that I've never heard before. You know, I was digging into it this week, and yeah, I hope you had a good time. I hope you liked that fucking depressing alien hunt story.
All right, you step into it thinking like, oh, this is gonna be like some loony stuff, and
well.
Fucking dies.
I was researching it and having a pretty good time, and then I pulled up to the mic and I was like, oh geez, fear's crazy. Fear will get you. Did you ever see the movie Horse Girl?
Yes, I did. That was a really good movie.
Just like that, like if you it can run wild and bad things happen.
Yeah, that movie threw me for such a loop. Alison Brie is such an amazing actress because I was introduced to her through fucking Community.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, I saw Glow, and then you see Horse Girl, and I was like, you know, she really has such a wide range of acting capability. Because Horse Girl was just, like, totally out of left field.
That one in particular, and I would recommend it if you're sort of a alien, I wouldn't go so far as to say aficionado, but you like the tropes, you like the culture or the stories around them, but it does a lot about like the personal troubling effects that these kind of interactions can have that you don't always hear about with the funny haha abduction stories.
Yeah,
that like, well, like it gets yeah. you
like that, like psychosis that comes with it again, like we, you know, kind of double back around and put a bow on it. It's like, like in those Lovecraft stories, there's an effect. There's a reason why, you know, they say Lovecraft is the master of madness, because his people go crazy because they've encountered these things that it's not nice. It's not that's I guess that's kind of why I like these Lovecraftian stories, because it's like you read all these other alien stories and like science fiction stuff. It's like, oh, the alien show, or like the movie Alien, for example. You know, it's like, oh, then we shot it, and, you know, then the Marines showed up, you know, and like, you know, we torched that hive, like, you know, we're going on a bug hunt. As to where Lovecraft kind of has like a more realist approach, where it's like, yeah, what would your brain do if you just saw the fifth dimension?
Mm-hmm. Or the farmhouse becomes different in the color out of space. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, that's really what, like, no, it's kind of like when people are like playing games, like, oh yeah, that'd be me. No, bro, you'd be that dude dead on the floor. You wouldn't be.
I'm not the hero, you know, of the you story.
Yeah, like, you're nobody. And I think that's why I like his stories a lot, because of like the insignificance of humanity.
Oh, sure.
It's like, you know, that's what's going to happen. When you encounter something like that shakes you to your core, you know, it's like you were saying, are you fight or are you flight? Yeah, I think, you know, in some cases, there's a third. There's break, and like these, some people just shut down. Shit. When things like that happen, you know. And this guy, I don't know what his, you know, like you were saying, we don't know what his mental state was before this, but for it to keep happening, if it was really aliens, then dang, he must have been a popular dude. If it wasn't, you know, exacerbating that delusion was not healthy for him, and not healthy for not just him, but that entire town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude, I love that story.
Absolutely. And if you, the listener, have any kind of interaction, or if there's ever been a sight that makes you pause for a second and you want to share that with us, well, first of all, I'd be honored to hear it. Like, it's super cool that we've already gotten a couple of pretty haunting stories from people.
But ooh.
We're hoping to compile enough for a listener response whole episode, probably in a couple months or so.
That sounds awesome. That's so cool that you have people responding and sending stuff in. Hell yeah.
Absolutely. And then the energy that they bring, I just love hearing them. And if you would want to share your story with us, you could hit us up at supermadtower@gmail.com. You could hit up the Instagram, Mad Tower Radio. Same thing on Twitter. Dan's doing a lot of hard work on that Instagram lately. And Ryan, our newly minted co-host, is there anything else that they can find you at? Any other fun activities you take part in?
Any of you listeners like degeneracy in anime? I also do another podcast with some friends called Weeboo Woos, and essentially we just talk about all things like anime and Japanese culture. It's kind of funny I say Japanese culture. We haven't talked about Japanese culture yet. We plan on it. We're doing a lot of talk on anime. but yeah, you can find us over on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Amazon Podcast as well, Podbean, and we are just the Weeboo Woos. That is W-E-E-B-U-W-U-S. And yeah, you can find me over there, and we're currently on a little hiatus for the holidays, kind of planning out our season two. I didn't even notice this, Christian. We have 26 episodes of that show. My friends are like, yeah, man, we finished season one. I was like, oh, God, we had done so much. But
you're like our season two villain. This is number 27 we're doing right now.
Gee, right, man. I link it all. I always put the Mad Tower stuff on our socials when I'm able to. But yeah, so that's where you can find me. But I like to be here. I feel at home here in the inky black void. You know, as Dan would say, what is a man? You know?
So this was our first flight out without the boss. Dan, I hope you liked this. Send me a text. Tell me how you like the show.
Yeah. Stay warm.
Stay warm. Stay safe. Keep your eyes open. This is Mad Tower Radio, ending transmission.
A frequency beyond space and time.
Unspeakable knowledge. It is Mad Tower Radio.